We are continuing our series on Proverbs. I hope you guys have been using the book that we gave you last week. I hope you're enjoying that resource. I started to memorize chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 of Proverbs. It's just such a rich experience, and I hope it's challenging you in the way that you spend time with God. But we're continuing the series on Proverbs, Words from the Wise, and today we're focusing on the theme, the fool and the wise. Our scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 9. We're actually going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 to 18. So let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's word. The scripture will be on the back screen. Read along with me in one voice. Let's read together. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuses. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you for how you will speak this morning to our hearts. Lord, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. You pierce through the bone and into the marrow, Lord. You pierce into the deepest places inside of us. And so, Father, we pray that we would open our hearts to your word. Lord, let us respond in obedience. Let us become more and more like you. Let us move away from foolishness and run towards godly wisdom this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. I am currently finishing a statistics class. Oh, man, if you've taken statistics, it is like the worst class. But in the field of statistics, it is important to create accurate measurements that will measure exactly what you are looking for in your research. And I credit Pete Scazzaro, the author of Emotional Healthy Spirituality, with the initial idea of viewing Proverbs as a spectrum. However, I believe that the spectrum I'm going to show you today even more accurately describes the extremes of wisdom and foolishness and everything in between. So, I present to you my WPA, Wise Fool Spectrum. Here it is. I hope you can see it. Can you see it? Excellent. It is on the screen behind you. You will notice five categories in this spectrum. The left orientation addresses the fool, and the right orientation addresses the wise. And I want you to do something this morning. I want you to take a moment before we get into God's word. I want you to rank yourself from 1 to 10. Don't tell anybody. It's just for you, okay? Rank yourself from 1 to 10, and keep that in mind as we work through the scripture this morning. Okay? Everybody good? I know it takes time to reflect. Am I a 6 or a 7? Can I do a 6.5? Proverbs 9 illustrates the wise and the fool as two women. immediately we see some parallels between the two images. In verse 3 and 14, both women are stationed at the highest points of the city. In verse 5 and verse 16, both women make invitations to the simple to come to their respective houses. In verse 2, the wise woman has prepared food for her guests. And in verse 17, the foolish woman has stolen food for her guests. Which woman is more persuasive? You see, you and I must decide whether we will choose the way of wisdom or whether we will choose the way of foolishness. Which woman will we follow? First point this morning is the personification of a wise woman. And we find this in verses 1 to 6. The scripture says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, 'Let all who are simple come to my house.' To those who have no sense, she says, 'Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight.'" What exactly does the book of Proverbs teach us about the wise? The first is this: the wise are teachable. The wise are teachable. We find this in chapter 9, verses 8 to 9. "Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning." The wise are teachable. Much of Solomon's proverbial teaching has to do with our teachability. How teachable are you? How teachable am I? Because only wise people are teachable people. Teachability has everything to do with the way we process and respond to rebuke in our lives. No one likes to be rebuked. No one quickly accepts rebuke in their lives. It's as if rebuke activates this button inside of us, which enables us to automatically become defensive and to fight our way against rebuke. But in our defensiveness, we ignore the truth of the matter because we feel that perhaps a person is speaking without grace to us. However, rebuke can actually be a positive experience in your life and in my life. Good parents rebuke their children and they discipline them. Children become stronger when they receive rebuke and discipline and yet are fully convinced that their parent is speaking and acting out of love rather than out of uncontrolled anger. What approach do you take when you rebuke someone, when you rebuke others in your life? Well, here's my encouragement to you, church. My encouragement is that you use the scriptures to frame your rebuke. I promise you, it'll go better. If you use 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, the scripture says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And while this speaks of the centrality of God's word in leadership, it also applies to our relationships. We need to use God's word in order to carefully rebuke one another and teach one another. We must consider the timing, the tone, the context, the body language, everything about us when we teach and rebuke and correct and train effectively. The scriptures give us God-given permission and God-given words to hold one another accountable for our behaviors. You see, the wise willingly accept the rebuke of others in their lives. In wisdom, they are able to manage their internal emotions. They look objectively at the situation. They begin to identify where and when they might have made a mistake in their life. This is Christian maturity at its best. The wise want to become even more wise. The wise know that knowledge is not a destination. It's really a journey, a lifelong journey. They realize that they have not arrived. They take advantage of every present growth opportunity that comes along their way. They are forever lifelong learners. The wise want to grow in becoming more and more wise. And so on this spectrum, the teachable will reach the highest height of wisdom in God. Teachable people are those who submit themselves voluntarily and involuntarily under other people's leadership. They understand the importance of both the role of the teacher and the student. Wherever you find yourself on the spectrum that we looked at earlier, let me encourage you today, every person here at WPA this morning, to increase your willingness to be taught. I believe that God is looking for teachable people. Are you a teachable person? Second point of the wise is that the wise are prudent. We find this in chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Many of you might have heard of a Fortune 500 company called Prudential. Have you seen that logo before? Prudential. The company focuses on building strong financial securities like retirement funds. Prudential is a company that tries to cultivate prudence in the minds and hearts of their customers concerning the future. Living optimistically speaks of our good intentions, but living realistically speaks of our prudent intentions. While we all would agree that saving for retirement is the wise choice, the reality is that people are capitalizing on our inability to be prudent on our own. You don't have to outsource your ability to be prudent, because God is the motivation behind prudence. God equips us to be prudent. The only place we have to look is God's word. We have to look to the book of Proverbs. You see, prudence is an uncommon word these days. It describes a person who is cautious, taking heed, or making good judgment before proceeding. Prudent people are always proactive people. Maybe this is you. Prudent people floss their teeth faithfully before they go to bed every night. You guys are amazing. Prudent people look over a map before traveling to a new and unfamiliar place. Prudent people consult God's word before making decisions. Consider Proverbs 8:12. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. We cannot have wisdom, friends, without prudence. This means that prudence is the practical outworking of wisdom in our lives. It instructs the way we steward our finances. It guides the way we foster relationships in our lives. Recently, our staff here at WPA participated in a time management seminar, and we realized that one of the reasons why we fail to be prudent in our lives is because we fail to set aside the necessary time to reflect and then organize our lives accordingly. We live in this steady state of busyness that does not give us time to discover solitude and silence in the presence of our God, to hear His voice and to discern where He is leading us. See, our acknowledgement of God is often nothing more than a fleeting prayer from our lips. Our minds are restless with competing thoughts that bump God out of His priority sequence from being at the top of our priority list. And so we need to slow down rather than speed up. So I encourage you this morning to pursue prudence, because God's wisdom is the most valuable wisdom you can ever find in your life. There is no wisdom like God's wisdom. Amen? Second point this morning, the second big picture, is the personification of a foolish woman. We find this in verses 13 to 18. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead." What an interesting picture of the foolish woman. What exactly does the book of Proverbs teach us about the fool? Well, here's the first point. The fool is a simpleton. The fool is a simpleton, or a simple person. We find this in chapter 9, verse 13. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. We find this word simple in the book of Proverbs 15 times. And the simple fool represents the immature person who lacks knowledge in their life. Life is full of choices, and the simpleton is highly susceptible to making bad choices because all those choices are misinformed. There's no knowledge backing up all those choices. And even the person with the highest IQ still makes foolish decisions. I still remember in the days of my youth when my dad would try to teach me a new technical skill. Part of me always wanted to be like my dad, who is a tool and die maker. But I lacked all the mathematical and scientific mind to do what he could do. Like a good dad, he'd come home after a long 12-hour shift, busy and tired, and he would take the time to instruct me on every step of a process. And minute by minute, I would become overwhelmed in my mind, and I would premature tell him that I know how to complete this task, Dad, so that he would just leave me alone to my own devices. And sadly, the result always proved that I had no clue what I was doing. My poor dad, he was so patient with me, but he got frustrated with me too. I was just a simple fool. I was a simple fool at such a young age. But this is not a stereotype only associated with young people or the young generation who have little life experience. The simple is a description of anyone who has no desire to know God's wisdom in every situation of their lives. Spiritually speaking, we are simple when we have no desire to read God's word, no desire to pray, no desire to worship God, no desire to share our faith with others. When that takes place in our lives, friends, we are very close to being a simple fool. I believe that the simple fool Christianity is truly plaguing the church. Is it possible to be a simple Christian? I think it is. But friends, an idle Christian walk is really dead Christianity. It's no faith at all. There's no point in staying neutral. There's no point in being lukewarm in your faith with Jesus Christ. The simple only learn when they observe the hard lessons mockers experience. It's not until someone gets hurt that they really learn the lesson. Proverbs 19:25 tells us this. Flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke the discerning, and they will gain knowledge. It's always at the mocker's expense. Proverbs 21:11 says, when a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. By paying attention to the wise, they get knowledge. So friends, don't wait for the hard lessons in life. Don't wait for God to discipline you. Discipline yourselves rather than receiving the discipline of God. Because to move away from simple foolishness is to turn towards the wisdom of God today. Secondly, the fool is a mocker. We find this in chapter 15, verse 12. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. I really believe that the mocker is the worst type of fool that there is. Some translations of the Bible use synonyms like scoffer and scorner to describe the mocker. But on the spectrum, foolishness begins with the simple fool and it ends with the mocking fool at the very end. The most extreme mocker, by definition, is an atheist. Psalm 14, verse 1 speaks of the fool as an atheist. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Some of you know that passage. To deny the existence of God is ultimate foolishness. Many atheists are quick to publicly mock Christians and the God that they serve. They'll do it on any forum they can. They'll do it on any platform that they can. They want to tell the world that Christianity is a farce. But it breaks my heart, and it should break our hearts when we see someone who is so hard-hearted, so antagonistic towards God. I'm reminded of Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Listen to the scripture this morning. For the message of the cross is what? Foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. So where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. I am thankful for God's saving power. The book of Colossians complements really well the book of Proverbs by addressing this topic of wisdom. Paul clarifies that God's wisdom and the world's wisdom are two different types of wisdom. The insufficiency of worldly wisdom is that it lacks the truth that saves us, that brings us salvation in Jesus Christ. It is insufficient in so many ways. Friends, today, can you think of this? Do you know a mocker? Perhaps there's a person, someone who criticizes you for following Christ, someone who criticizes you for reading your Bible unashamed, someone who criticizes you for praying, or someone who criticizes you for going to church. You know the fate of mockers, both the present pain and the future eternal penalty. And so how do you and I respond to the atheist? Here's what we can do this morning. Is the answer more actions and less words? I actually don't think so. I believe the answer is to ask the Lord to empower your words through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit illuminates. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of God, demonstrated for us by Jesus Christ, can only be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And a Holy Spirit-empowered witness is the most convincing witness, even to the most committed atheist. Do you believe that today? Amen. Come on, do you believe that today? That with the power of the Holy Spirit, even the atheist will bow before the Lord. We are aware that one encounter with Christ can change the trajectory of a person's life. And Paul's words are so trustworthy because he himself is a living testimony of such a transformation from mocker to missionary. It's amazing what the Lord can do. It's amazing how the Spirit can illuminate truth to those who are ignorant of God's truth. And so we pray. We pray for the atheists. We pray for those who are far from the Lord. Lastly, this morning, the fool is a repeater. The fool is a repeater. We find this in chapter 26, verse 11. I don't know if you're going to like this verse, but as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. This is God's word, okay? While this may be a gross illustration, it accurately identifies the repulsiveness of a fool's actions. Fools do not learn the lesson the first time, and in folly, they repeat the same behavior over and over and over again. And so we must ask ourselves the question, are there any unhealthy habitual sins that are in my life that I need to deal with? Look inside this morning. For to ignore these habitual sins is to really act the fool. Because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're exempt from making foolish decisions. You still have to be wise. It doesn't make you automatically wise. You have to choose wisdom each day of your life and run away from the foolish things of this world. I once heard a seminary professor during my education years say these words, "Not all folly is sin. Some folly is sin, but all sin is folly." I love that. That's just an amazing quote. Not all folly is sin. Some folly is sin, but all sin is folly. And one thing we all have in common, friends, is that we're all sinners. But those who repeat the same sin over and over again are being deceived by the woman that personifies folly. Pastor John Piper, a strong voice in the 21st century church, has said that Proverbs does not make you wise by themselves. You have to be wise to know how to use Proverbs fittingly. Proverbs can find their way into any person's mouth, but they are useless in the mouths of fools. Consider a few examples. Proverbs 26:7 and Proverbs 26:9. Like the useless legs of one who is lame is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. A second one, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand, is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. You see, we cannot depend on declaring the truths of the Proverbs. We must live out the truths of the Proverbs. Amen? Never forget that true wisdom is not common sense. It's not common sense like the world knows it. It comes directly from God alone. That's why Proverbs 2:6 states and sets the tone for the entire book of Proverbs. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You see, the book of Proverbs reinforces the idea that we should break repetitive foolishness, habitual sins, and generational curses in our lives. Be reminded today that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen? So let's conclude this morning in view of God's word that you have heard and read this morning for yourselves. I want you to look at the spectrum just one more time. And I want you to rank yourself again. Look at the spectrum one more time and rank yourself. Has anything changed? Would you rank yourself differently in light of God's word? Think about that for a second. I conclude today by reading you one last passage. I'm going to end with scripture this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. Powerful scripture. My goal, says Paul, is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I love how we can take it from the Old Testament right into the New Testament. We know that whenever God's word is preached, it never returns void. And so I can believe today that God is speaking directly to us through the power of his proclaimed word. I believe that every person in this room would want to move as far away from foolishness as they can and run as close to wisdom as they can. So the only way, friends, you and I can do this is by turning to wisdom incarnate, turning to Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Friends, without Christ, we have no wisdom. But with Christ, we have all wisdom. Do you see the difference? Christ makes all the difference in our lives. And so if you're here today and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, with all heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to lead you in a simple prayer in accepting Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life, to turn away from foolishness and to run towards wisdom in God.